Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
The people are flocking in to the Chicago Golf Show presented by the CDGA. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, all brought to you by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan, ready to go for year three of the Golf Show. And what better place to start than at this beautiful venue here in Rosemont? If you're here at the convention, if you're on your way to the convention, come stop by. We're right off of the entrance here. You can't miss us.
You can't really.
And this is my favorite show of the year because of the fact that we are out and about at the Chicago Golf Show. It's a fantastic setting. We've got the long putt set up. We've got vendors from everywhere here. You can get your free round of golf from Golf. I mean, there is so much to do here at this show. It's a great way to kick off the golf season in the Chicagoland area.
No doubt, Tyler. And this is a huge, huge year for the CDGA as we celebrate our 110th year of existence. We started back in 1914. Our foundation is going to celebrate 80 years of service to our military and veterans. And our Sunshine Programs is celebrating 25 years. So 2024 is a huge, huge year. And we made the conscientious decision to make a real investment in today and this weekend to really bring golf to Chicago in a way that is unique, quality, different, and cool.
We've got a great show lined up for you today. Jay Stocky, the Guinness Book of World Record holder for the longest putt ever made in a non-competition, is going to join us. We're going to give him a couple cracks at the long putt,
too.
I mean, he's hit a putt of over 400 feet. So what do we have over here, like 70 feet?
80 feet.
80 feet over here. That's good. That's small potatoes for him. But it's certainly difficult for both you and I, although we did have a banner day yesterday, I hear. 27 knockdown, including one guy who made two in a row.
He did. We had a gentleman who made both over on what we're calling the Evanston Wilmette or the Canal Shores hole. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hole, because we have two this year. That's a big change. We went from one to two long putts. So the other one is all themed out in a Chicago theme. And later this morning, we're going to have Robbie Gold, Nick Anderson, and Jay Stocky, and a few lucky people from the audience to actually putt for $5,000. So big day here at the Rosemont Convention Center.
Speaking of Nick Anderson and Robbie Gold, they will both be joining us as well. Former NBA player, flying Illini, Nick Anderson, and new CDGA ambassador Robbie Gold, and new head coach of Rolling Meadows as
That's
well.
Right.
We'll have to talk to him about that as he is the Bears' all-time leading scorer. He will join us at 10:35 today. Looking forward to all of that. But I mean, I love this show. We come out here, you see all the people. It's just a celebration of golf. I mean, the people are already flooding into the venue right now. There's so much to do here, so you got to get on out here. You can get a crack at the long putt. If you need a new club, you need some new equipment for the year, this is the perfect place to do it.
It really is. And you know what? It's a great place for the entire family, and here's why. We have set up for the juniors a putting course. They have hitting bays. We have Illinois PGA golf professionals who have donated their time because, let's face it, folks, golf lessons are not cheap these days, but that knowledge and wisdom is here complimentary for 3 days. Last year, Kevin Weeks gave me a putting tip, and honest to gosh, it really improved my game throughout the second half of the season, and I thank Kevin for that. But there's so much to do, and from the non-golfer perspective, there are travel opportunities, destinations, and resorts. We have over 350 booths. So if you're into apparel, and the apparel in golf has become much more athletic.
God. Yeah.
So if you were a pickleball player, we got stuff here for you.
Right.
Because golf has become much more athletically inclined in what we wear and how we perform. So there is just so much to do. Fun stuff to see. Interaction. It's all here.
Yep. More than 15,000 people are expected to show up over the course of 3 days here. And I believe you've set an over-under on the long putts as well.
Yes, I have.
You're getting a little nervous.
Well, I originally set it for the weekend at 39.5, and we hit 27 yesterday. So I'm establishing the over-under today at 42.5 because we made a little modification to the right side, and we think it's going to be an absolute ace fest here today. And I think we'll go over 40 hole-in-ones.
Over 40. Yep. Over 40 today alone?
Today alone.
Wow.
Because
we doctored it up.
We doctored it up. But I also have to tell you, the Chicago putting skills have improved over the course of the year. Last year we made 7. So I don't know what they did, but maybe those lessons are paying off. You know, these guys are in girls. We had a lot of girls make it yesterday. And like I said, we had the one guy who made it twice in a row, and the odds of that are just ridiculous.
Right. So an 80-foot putt, and there's two lanes. There's the Canal Shores lane, and then there's the Chicago lane that you've got there. And it's amazing. Like, last year there was just one. Now we've got, I'm sure in like 3 years we'll have a par 3 set up here by the time we're ready to go.
Somebody actually mentioned that. They said, hey, if we drop the nets down, we could actually do a long drive competition with simulators in here. Well, that's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, now the think tank, the gears are in motion upstairs for Mike Gilligan here. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. This is going to be a fun day for anybody, and that's the best part of it, is you see people from all age groups come in. You see kids come in. You see kids go out and hit the long putt there. You see adults of all ages come in here. It's just the perfect way to kind of kick off the golf season. And a lot of familiar faces walking around as well, people who I've saw here last year, people are here once again, a lot of new faces too.
Yep.
And I cannot recommend this enough for anybody who is trying to get ready for the golfing season, because I don't know about you, have you gotten any flyers for a Sunday round next week?
It's
supposed to be 70 degrees on Tuesday.
I've got plans. Let's put it that way. I've got real plans, because after this week is over, I need a break. But golf would be the best thing for me to do that. But, you know, today we're also celebrating our CDGA members. You know, we have actually expanded up to 107,000 members now strong. So we are seeing a lot of new faces, and that's great, because CDGA members that show up, whether you renew, activate, or be a brand new member, we've got a super tube complimentary of zero friction, a custom bag tag, and some other offers that they can get here free when they come out and visit us. So we had almost 1,000 CDGA members stop by yesterday, and we're expecting a much more today. And so we're having a great day to just celebrate the CDGA and what we're doing, and also, you know, spreading the word in terms of the foundation work. And that's really what's going on over at the foundation longest putt. The $5 goes towards putting kids on the golf course, towards the work that we do with veterans and individuals with disabilities. So it's all in a good cause. We're having a lot of fun, and we took the CDGA booth and we expanded it up to 11,000 square feet. It's funny. 7 years ago, we started in a 10x10. And so now we've got all of this going on. And to top it all off, for you train aficionados, we have a Lionel CTA car running around both of the holes. And the Chicago hole is all themed out. We have the Willis Tower and the Hancock and all the various buildings. So, you know, it's just a lot of whimsical fun, and it grabs the attention, and it brings the kid out of everybody when you walk into the Chicago Golf Show.
It is a kid in a candy store. I know our producer, Charlie Bevins, was doing some sniffing around before the gates open here. I think he's in the market for a new wedge that he's looking for. So Charlie was actually on the news the other day because he was out at Sidney Maravich getting 9 in.
Nice.
He made the A block of the NBC 5 news the other day because he was an avid golfer who was out there in February. You don't get a lot of February rounds in this area, but thank the groundhog, I guess, because we're getting a pretty early spring here.
Well, no doubt. In fact, you know, we were with Tracy Butler on Thursday and asking her. I mean, golf has become top of mind just because of the winter that we're having. And as a result, believe it or not, ironically, the USGA in our climate has extended our season. What we used to kick off was April 1st, mm-hmm. you know, and that was no joke. April 1st, yeah. right? Not April Fool's Day. But now they've made us go back, not made us, but they've recommended that we start March 15th. And instead of ending at the last day of October, we're going to November 14th. So effectively, your reporting season has now gone on for about four more weeks yeah. or almost 30
getting
days.
A month, yeah.
So, yeah.
A month more. So.
But it's global warming affecting golf in a good way.
Yeah. More golf is never a bad thing here. There have been a lot of changes to the golf world since we last met back in the end of September when we were discussing the Ryder Cup and all that was going on there. But this, everything that's going on with LIV Golf, we saw a big transfer with Jon Rahm making the way over. What do you think? It was the porta potties that sold him, right? The porta potties on every hole?
I guess he's very passionate about his porta potties, obviously. But yeah, no, that was shocking. And I think that was a situation where, you know, the PIF started feeling like disrespected in a way, and they wanted to remind the PGA Tour just what kind of strength they can have and how they can leverage it. And, you know, it just goes to show you that everybody's got a number. And the latest number I'm seeing floating around is the next one is for Rory McIlroy at $950 million. His agent is claiming it's a possibility.
So Rory, for those who don't remember, has been one of the golfers that has been really steadfast in, I'm not jumping ship. But over the last 4 to 6 months, we've kind of seen that tune change a little bit and being a little more open to LIV Golf. He's not as harsh with some of his statements when he talks about it. He used the word never before. He would never go there. It could be the last league on earth, pretty much, and he would never make the jump over to LIV. That tune certainly seems to be changing, and for me, it makes me ask questions about whether or not we are going to ultimately see a merger. Because remember, we were talking last June about, this merger that, and they were, we saw the commissioners of each league on CNBC in this Kumbaya meeting, and we thought, this is going to be the joining of the two super leagues that we have here. And now all of a sudden, as we still sit here in February and the ink is not dry yet, it makes you ask a lot of questions about what the future of professional golf looks like.
It really does. It really has you take pause, and it just goes to show you that the devil is in the details and they can't seem to get the details ironed out. And I think it's a matter of control. Because I think the PGA Tour has to maintain control, and I think it's a control issue more than it is anything else. But I think that the players are also seeing a future that has this group ultimately coming together. Now, whether it's in the next 2 weeks or 2 years, I think that because Jon Rahm's agent is the same as Phil, when I look back on all of
this. Both Arizona State guys as well.
Exactly. Good point there. And everything that Phil has said, whether you like him or not, as polarizing as he is, he's been mostly right, if not right 100% of the time. And I think he's got an inside perspective, or his agent does. And I think that went a long way, that Rahm went over there with the idea that we're coming back together ultimately. It's just we got to figure it out. But I think everybody wants that and knows that, what has to happen. We're just trying to figure out the roadmap to get there. And it may be a little bit more problematic or challenging and obstacles. But my guess is I would still give it another 6 months before we probably know what the final outcome and what the timeline will be come next year. Because it's really by then they have to have certain things in place if they're going to make any change for 2025.
Right.
So, you know, that's where I think we are right now. But my guess is as good as anybody's at this point, because one thing I've taken away from all of this is nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. All right, when we come back, we'll get into more of some of the stuff you've missed. I do want to talk about one of the strange rulings that we got last week. And also, the son of a legend is in action. How did he do? We'll do all that when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, and this segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. We're live at the Chicago Golf Show in Rosemont. Come on out, say hello. We're still waiting for our first roar of the day from the long putt next door to us here. as we are in the CDGA media studio here. Lots to do at the golf show. I do have to show you this. I think you might throw up when you see this. I've been meaning to re-grip my putter for the longest time.
Oh, my goodness.
So I made sure to bring it out here today so I could get it re-gripped.
Oh, yeah. You'll instantly make much more. This thing is, like, it looks like it was from 1930s.
Exactly. And it's one of those things I keep saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna, and then I just never get around to doing it. And now I finally brought it out here with the hopes of finding a place that'll re-grip it. I'm sure with all these vendors here, there's at least one place that has a gripping station.
So. Yeah. You know, in Chicago, everybody's got a guy. I got a guy
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, do you?
All I
right,
really
perfect.
Do. Because we got to turn that from being an antique into something more usable.
But, yeah, maybe I'll make some more putts this year. Speaking of putting, Jay Stocky, the Guinness Book of World Records holder for the longest putt, will join us at 9:35. He has hit a putt of over 400 feet.
Yeah, and to put that into perspective, that's like going from home plate to dead center field.
Yeah, at Wrigley Field, yeah.
Yeah, but trying to make it into like a little hole,
yeah,
not to hit the wall.
It's basically like trying to wedge a ball from home plate into the basket at Wrigley.
Exactly.
Into one of the little prongs of the basket at Wrigley Field.
Right.
That's what you're trying to do there, and that's what he's doing with a putt from that distance. By the way, this segment brought to you by Tour Edge. All right, so let's get into some of the other things that have gone on in the golf world. This was one of the notable ones last week, was Jordan Spieth and his scorecard. He was DQ'd last week after he reported an improper score because of a scorecard, I won't call it malfunction, but he reported the wrong score. He signed an incorrect card last week, got DQ'd. This has been a lot of buzz lately because... Mm-hmm. I think the best way to comp it is the people who get upset in football that we still use the chains to measure out 10 yards.
Exactly.
And it's something that I think a lot of people think is archaic, and there's a better way to do it in golf. What was your biggest takeaway when you saw that Jordan Spieth had to take the DQ last week?
Well, you know, this is, again, where the rules of golf, you know, as traditional as they are, at times, they need to evolve with the times, because let's go back to where scoring for golf all started in the term stroke. Believe it or not, the stroke doesn't refer to the actual swing. Back when the game first started, there was an individual who kept a blank, like 3x5 index card, and with a pen would make a mark on the card, and he'd make 1, 2, 3, 4, and then make a slash for 5. And they would do that, and every golfer had a scorekeeper. And that's the way it all started. And then eventually they went to, because they didn't even have pencils yet, so then once they got to paper and pencil and the rest of it, you know, then it became more of, hey, we got to protect the rest of the field, we'll keep, you know, playing threesomes, everybody keeps one another's card and that kind of thing. But as far as at the level that these guys play, there's no need for that anymore. These guys aren't trying to cheat. They don't have to protect the field. We got cameras and technology all over the place. And I guess my biggest takeaway to answer your question was there was whoever was in scoring control or the scoring center when the players come in didn't do their job. They're there to protect the player, not to try to, ooh, I caught you.
Yeah.
You know, that's not it at all. Because let me tell you just how costly this is for Jordan Spieth. Now, the man's got a lot of money, but let's not mention it was one of those big events.
Yeah, the elevated events.
So the elevated events. So he loses money there. So, okay, that's a big deal. But where he really loses is world ranking points and status within the top 30. And so, you know, is it really about getting it right, or is it really about catching somebody? I guess is where I have my take on that. So I just think, you know, the game really let Jordan Spieth down. But at the end of the day, is it his responsibility? Yes, it is. But it's also the responsibility of the PGA Tour officials to protect the player, and that's what I call proactive officiating.
I do think in the modern era, you bring up all the cameras and stuff. At this point, it's pretty impossible to cheat
exactly
on the golf course. And even when there are guys, like, what was it, a couple years ago, I believe it was at the Masters, when Adam Hadwin, he self-reported an infraction that he had. It cost him 2 strokes. But, like, the next day he went out and shot, like, 5 or 6 under, and it was one of those things where you just felt like, oh, golf karma came back in a good way for him the next day. I mean, good Canadian boy, too,
well,
right?
Of course.
But all of that put together, like, no one on the course is really trying to cheat. It is a game of, I mean, sure, you may have a sandbagger in your group of foursomes that you slap the ball around with on Saturdays, but these professional golfers, this is a game of honor and integrity, and I feel like they are not trying to cheat. If they do maybe cheat, it is not of their intention, and it is a quick and easy fix. The way that it happens is, all right, you go out, maybe you sign a wrong card. What I'm the penalty that I would assess if you do sign a wrong card and knowingly sign a wrong card, you're getting a stroke penalty. I don't think there's need to DQ.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And to the level and the amount of money and the business that this is, the rule is too antiquated. It's just too antiquated. Let's get it right. I mean, why did we go to replaying baseball and in football to get it right? So I just think the PGA Tour had an opportunity to get it right with Jordan Spieth, and instead they took one of the biggest stars away from the field. And this is after Mr. Tiger Woods also pulled out, too. Mm-hmm. So that event kind of got a little 1-2 punch in not in such a good way.
Right. And the other thing, too, with this rule, and the PGA Tour right now is trying to gain favors, trying to grow the game of golf right now. And they're doing it at a time when there is a split in the golf landscape. There are multiple avenues for you to go to if you do want to watch professional golf right now. And not only are you taking out one of your stars, but you're doing it in a time where you really don't have a lot of margin for error in terms of how many black eyes you can accumulate right now. And this is a black eye on the sport.
Well, and if you got the right guy with the right kind of personality, he could have jumped right then and there. That could have been all the reason in the world to say, you know what, I am going to go sign for $400 million that after what you just did here. You know, and but again, it does go back to ultimately it is his responsibility. But I go back to, again, this game is too high a level. I mean, I can understand maybe that rule at the amateur when there are no fans, no cameras or anything. I get it there, but not at this stage.
You know, the other thing about it, too, is you bring up, oh, yeah, like he could jump. Like Jordan Spieth is one of those guys. He hasn't had the major success that he did when he burst onto the scene, and he's had his injuries. And I mean, he's a guy who he'll scapegoat his caddy. He's known to do that, right? Like, I'm almost surprised. It would not shock me if we did see a leap from him soon as a result of something like this, and they're pulling money out of the pockets of these guys.
Well, you know, and ever since June 6th of last year, the sensitivity level now is a lot different of, hey, I'm going to take a bullet, and I'm going to be loyal and steadfast.
Yeah.
June 6th changed that attitude, and that taste in certain players' mouths really soured, and trust was broken. And in any kind of relationship, when trust is broken, it can be bought back, but it's going to be a long time.
I can't wait for that Full Swing episode, by the way.
I know, it's coming up.
It's coming up in March. Cannot wait for that one. The cameras were indeed rolling the day that the merger was announced, and everyone kind of found out the same way on Twitter or on the news. Like, that's the way that news got around of this merger that was going on between the two entities, of LIV Golf as well as the PGA Tour. It is pretty remarkable what we're going to see in that, because there's going to be storylines galore that we're going to have in this upcoming season of Full Swing.
And my hope is the cameras were rolling, and I hope they get a lot of first reactions that are honest and pure of certain players' face and what they say when the moment they hear it versus...
If I'm remembering right, it was the Canadian Open, right?
Yes, it was. Very good memory. Yep. And it just shocked the golfing world. And it was one of those moments, at least in the golf industry, is where were you that day?
Yeah.
And it has changed the climate, and not in such a favorable way for the PGA Tour, but I think it also made LIV get stronger, and I think gave the players a little boost of confidence that by actually jumping and taking the money that ultimately they made the right decision, because early on, I guarantee you, they had second thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And the other part, too, with it all is these PGA Tour players said were told that they would be compensated for their loyalty. And now if you don't get a merger of some sort, or it's a long-standing battle to finally solidify the plans, you're really going to fracture your league. And it's little incidents like this where I think if you're Jordan Spieth, I don't blame. If we saw him jump in 2 hours from today, from right now, if he jumped to LIV Golf in 2 hours, we got that announcement. Wouldn't be shocked. Wouldn't blame him either.
No, you really can't. I mean, and that's just it. You know, the sensitivity and the lack of patience now is ultra, ultra thin. And everybody's running at a level now where time is running out, patience is wearing thin, decisions need to be made for the greater good of the game. It's just that simple, and everybody knows it. And you've got this, you know, this big Darth Vader kind of piff just waiting, but you want to do business with them, but at the same time, it's so very complicated, but it does need to get done. But I also look at this in a very opportunistic way, because really, we have a chance to change the ecosystem of golf. And I mean all the way out to like the Latin American tours.
Yeah.
Because again, when you start to avail yourself of this kind of resources and funding, you can make golf across the board for the guys that are down in the single A, double A, triple A level, who are outstanding players, but still be able to survive and have a formidable living while still trying to live out their dream. It's really a game that has turned into those who have and those that have not. And it's very, very, very difficult in this day and age, because of that separation being so grand, for any young man or woman to make it as a professional touring golf professional.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Jay Stocky, the Guinness Book of World Record holder for the longest putt. He'll join us next here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. We'll be right back on ESPN 1000. Live at the Chicago Golf Show, it is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We go on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline, where we are joined by Jay Stocky, the world record holder for the longest putt ever made. Over 400 feet, 401.2, if you're being exacter. He joins us right now at the CDGA Golf Show. And Jay, where do you find 400 feet of green is what I want to know.
So we sort of lumped into this, right, in that we go to Kohler every year, eight of us, you know, knuckleheads out there, and it's a giant putting green that they put in. It's called the Baths. It's a par 3 course and a giant 18-hole putting course in between the two holes at the Meadows at Black Wolf Run. And so we're there every year, and it leads into a putting competition every evening, right? And so we go, and it's sort of a one-tie-you-all tie. Of course, there's no gambling because that's illegal.
Oh, yes.
But it's a one-tie-you-all tie. Well, what happens is, with eight guys, you tie a lot. So we start going longer and longer holes, and then sure enough, at one point, we're putting across the entire 18-hole putting course from west to east, and it was a 300-and-some-foot putt. Well, that leads into the discussion, maybe some cocktails were involved, but leads into the discussion of, why is there a world's longest drive competition, but there isn't a world's longest putt competition? And so that got us talking, and then, of course, after a little more time goes on, we actually bribed the bartender that night to stay open, so we got out lighted balls and lighted holes. So we're there well into the evening, and the idea comes up, what's the Guinness World Record for the longest putt? So we have some homework. We go back and we decide we're going to create the world's longest putt competition. Because, you know, you think about it, right? It's great to drive long, but lag putting is probably as important as being able to hit a long drive. So we set up the competition. But now we got to sell Kohler on the idea. Because they have the only... So we did all my homework on the green. They have the only green in the country that is big enough to accommodate a world record putt that is completely on the green. So all of the previous record holders have been off of a fairway onto a green. And Guinness has allowed that.
They have.
They have.
Isn't that a hole out, though?
And that's my point exactly. Like, so I've been talking to every PGA professional and having them write Guinness and say, you need to change the rules. It must be on a putting surface, starting and ending, to be counted as a putt. But anyway, so now we have to convince Kohler. So meeting with the head of operations at Kohler, I shot him an email like, hey, we'd like to hold this world-long putt competition and try to break the Guinness World Record. And I get a very short reply. He's like, you guys are crazy, but sure, I'll talk to you. So we go. We have breakfast with him, kind of pitch it. I'm from a small town in northern Wisconsin called Krivitz, Wisconsin. Sure enough, I bring it up. The head of operations had gone hunting up there before. So he knows. I'm like, well, where are you from originally? He's like, well, I'm originally from a western suburb of Chicago. I'm like, where? He's like, Downers Grove. I'm like, I live in Downers Grove.
Oh, no.
So we play the name game. So
Oh, my gosh.
We hit it off really well. And so at the end of the breakfast, he's like, you know, this is so crazy that it just might work. Sure, we'll give you the course for 2 days. So they moved our whole 18 course over so that we could have an east-west, or we actually ended up having to go north-south so we could be long enough to break the record. And the record had turned out to be 395 feet.
Oh, wow, okay.
So we set ours up at 401, and we did the mock of the 2023 World's Longest Putt Finals, right? So we had some ideas. We had to beta test, made some changes on the fly, but we got it to work. And Mike Bourne, who's also from the Chicagoland area, won the 2023 World's Longest Putt Finals.
Competition.
The competition itself. Yeah, he put two putts with inside of 10 feet in the final round.
Okay.
Which, you know, was amazing. And then, as a marketing stunt, we decide, okay, we're going to stick around, and we are going to break the Guinness World Record. And in the competition, most everybody had gotten at least one of them close. So we're like, we're going to do this. This is going to happen. We go that whole first day. Nobody makes it. Hit
now,
the
pin a first day, how many hours does the day constitute for production, having officials there?
Well, that is the exact point. So the way the rules work with Guinness. So you had to immediately set up static cameras on each end to capture everything. So before you measure, before you set anything up, that's how the rules are. And then you have to have two witnesses, completely independent. So they can't work for Kohler. They can't be related to the course. They can't be related to any of us. So I had a staffing firm get two witnesses. They have a logbook. They have to write down, you know, Jay Stocky putt 123 at 10:42 a.m. miss. Right? So it's very exact. But those witnesses can only work 4 hours by Guinness rules. So we go through in the morning. They did their 4 hours. We get two more witnesses come in the afternoon. They go their 4 hours. And time was up because we had no witnesses. So we had to call it a day on the first day. But we were so close. We'd hit the pin a bunch. We'd been close. We're going to make this. I'm fully confident we're going to get it. We got the next day. It's colder. It's rainy.
Oh, boy.
Our witnesses come in. We go all morning. And, you know, just not doing that well. We hit the pin a few times, but the morale's starting to get low. And we also had a cameraman because we wanted somebody to zoom on the putt the whole way. So the static cameras were nice, but, you know, you want to see the entire length of the way it goes. Well, the hard part, he's got to pretend that every single putt is the one that's going to go in. So he's focused. He's there. He's working really hard.
Oh.
He's freezing his butt off. And he's a friend, right? So now he's not happy with me. We go through all morning, don't make it. The second witnesses come in. They work their 4 hours. We don't make it. So it's over. We only had the thing for 2 days.
Oh,
so
boy.
It's done. Well, they had moved the 18-hole putting course. There's six people over there. We go over and like, hey, how would you like to be a witness to a Guinness World Record? So I give them the little witness training. So they come over. We have an hour left before the sun sets.
Yeah.
Going through, and two guys took shifts. We're like in 15-minute shifts. I took the last shift. And we're going through, and it's now getting dark. And the cameraman calls up. He's like, Jay, we got to call it. I can't see anymore. So I go, okay, last putt. And then my buddy Dan's like, give me one or two more. Okay. I take the putt, and I look at Dan, and I go, nah, it's over. That's it. You know, because you always call the putt. After you've missed 237 in a row, you always call it.
Okay. So you really didn't know.
No. I was being so sarcastic, right? Because it was the last one.
Okay.
And so much so that when it actually went in, I wasn't sure because it was really getting dark. So I couldn't quite tell if it had gone in or not. And I actually thought the guys maybe down there were messing with me to try.
Oh, boy.
But then the chaos ensued, and we had made the putt. And, you know, it's just been an amazing ride ever since. I mean, the amount of media exposure and then the amount of interest we now have in the 2024 World's Longest Putt Competition has – it's just blowing my mind how fast this is taking off.
We'll talk about that, but I do have a question for you. Inside 400 feet, are you a good putter? Or come on, be honest.
So of our foursome, I do average the least number of putts, but that could be because I also have the least greens in regulation.
Okay, yeah, all right. So the honesty comes from, see, game of honesty here.
So,
yeah, I mean, when you're a Guinness World Record holder like that, like, you have to have a level of integrity there to when you're answering a question like that. Jay Stocky with us. He is the Guinness World Record holder for the longest putt ever made with 401.2 feet. You broke Garrett Hilbert's record from Dude Perfect. Were you familiar with Dude Perfect and kind of what they do, all the stunts that they do?
I am very much so, but it's an even better story than that. So their post of the record didn't show up until the day after I had made my putt. So we thought the record was 395 feet, and then we're there, and you had to have a surveyor come. Witnesses had to witness the surveyor. We have everything marked, and so he's doing one, and you have to do it after, too. So you have to do before and after. He's there measuring the after. I get a text. And it's a buddy of mine, Nelly. He's like, "Do you see the Dude Perfect guys broke the Guinness World Record longest putt?" I can't tell you the sheer panic that ran through my body. And so now I'm on Guinness' site, and I look it up, and I'm like, it's 398 feet. I'm like, all right. I sure hope the first surveyor was right that this is over 400 feet. And sure enough, the survey comes back at 401, and it was almost like a mini celebration again.
Wow.
We're puzzled. So I have reached out to the Dude Perfect guys because we're doing this. So I'm retired. We're doing most of this to help nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So the way the World's Longest Putt works, we actually run local competitions all around the country, typically at a charity golf event. So we'll set up on the putting green or one of the holes. You can run it all day. We encourage the charity to charge based on what they, how high end of a event it is. Charge every golfer, and they get to raise more money, and then we get people to move through to qualifying regional events. So you want to qualify, you move to a regional. The Chicago regional will be at the CDGA facility, Midwest Club at Coghill. And then if you win there, then you get to go to Kohler, and you get to compete into the 2024 finals, where we have a ton of great prize packages, including Kohler said they'll throw in for the winner stay at their hotel at St. Andrews.
Wow.
So there's going to be a great prize package.
So so everybody understands, Jay Stocky is the commissioner also of World Long Putt, in addition to being the Guinness Book of World Records holder. So explain to the audience what we have going here with our longest putt and how it corresponds, just like you just said, because we're fundraising here for our foundation, and we're hoping to hit $20,000 over the weekend, and at the same time, we're doing exactly helping out because we've got qualifiers through this.
It is just such a perfect merger, right? When you think about it, what you're trying to do, you're the perfect venue for a qualifying event. So we're working with the CDGA so that there will be one of the winners who makes the putt here will actually get to go through directly to the finals. So they'll skip the regional process. They'll go directly to the finals. And then anybody here who makes the putt will then qualify for the regional event. So then they can compete. And if they win at the regional event, they also get to go to the finals.
Right. And the regional will be in September at Midwest Golf House.
Yes.
I think it's September 7th is what we're looking
at. That's what we're planning on.
It's one of those things where, you had such a great idea, and so this actually is a qualifying event today, folks. So when you come down and putt and try to win all the fabulous prizes, you could earn yourself a spot in the regionals in September with the idea that going to Kohler in October 7th, I believe, right?
So we actually moved it up because of weather, and Kohler's been very cold. So we're doing it September 21st.
Oh, nice.
So we're pretty much guaranteed to have good weather. The good news is Kohler, if you look at it, they have four world-class courses, and then they have the par 3 and putting course, which is sort of on the lower on the totem pole.
Yeah. I'm glad you say this.
We put it on the map.
You did, because I didn't even know it existed.
Exactly. So Kohler's been so excited. The head of operations just laughs. He's like, "I'm so glad I had breakfast with you guys," right? Because it really has turned into a thing that's helped to promote their small course.
All right, well, you have an 80-foot putt coming up in a little bit. I mean, that's only 20% of what you've done before. So how good are you on, like, the 80-footers?
You know I'm going to miss it so badly.
Well, I'll tell you, though. We have this thing set up. So also, so people understand, shortly after the show, we're going to have Robbie Gold, we're going to have Nick Anderson and Jay, as well as three lucky folks to join. And all six of them, on their very first attempt, is worth $5,000. Split the pot, with half of it going to our foundation, the other half going in their pocket. But I got to ask the question, if you make it, what will you do with the money?
Odds are I'll probably give it to a charity.
Yes. So everyone's going to be rooting for you.
Yes. Yep.
Jay, thanks so much for taking some time with us, and best of luck on your putt later today.
Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
Jay Stocky, the Guinness World Record holder for the longest putt ever at 401.2 feet. All right, when we come back, we'll get into a golf legend's son making a run to try to get into a PGA Tour event. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Mm-hmm.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. We'll talk to Nick Anderson about 7 minutes from now. Chicago native and Flying Illini member and first round pick by the Orlando Magic back in 1989. He'll join us in just a little bit here on the CDGA Golf Show. So we saw Charlie Woods as he tried to qualify for the Cognizant that's coming up this week. And interesting scorecard. I think there was a humanizing part of it when you see a 12 on 7 like we did. But here's the hidden part of that. After that 12, he rallies back with 6 straight pars. If I had a 12 on a, I may not play 8
That's right.
I have a 12 on 7.
And you know what? Most people wouldn't. Yeah. And I give the kid a ton of credit because it's easy to just to come absolutely unglued emotionally, mentally, and just shut down and go through the motions. And that 86 could have been 126, real simple. But, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So, you know, he put a little tiger into him and, you know, came back and showed that he's got, you know, he's got some game. And, you know, this is part of the maturation process. Nobody picks up this game and is instantly great. Even Jack Nicklaus wasn't. You know, Tiger, yeah, but even he struggled in the beginning and had his ways about himself as a youngster. I just feel bad for Charlie. It just goes to show you just how in a goldfish bowl he's living, because he can't do anything like a normal 15-year-old can enjoy. And, you know, to have your golf game on display as such is tough when you're not even Charlie Woods. You're just going off on the first tee, you know, with your friends, and you've got a few groups waiting. You're nervous. And so a guy like him and getting the public bashing and the, because, A, he didn't take up a spot. He didn't take up a spot for anybody. And this is all part of how he's going to become a great player sometime. But you know what? He showed, I loved the not quit in him, you know. And it reminded me of a story when we were trying to qualify for U.S. Amateur when I was about his age. And we had a gentleman on the second
15
tee.
Years old, by the way.
Yeah.
For Charlie Woods.
For Charlie. 15. Mm-hmm. So this guy hits the tee sign. Because we were playing the far, far back. And the ball ricocheted and went 100 and some yards further back up against a boundary fence. He had to take an unplayable, and he ended up making an 11 or 12 on what was an easy par 5. But he missed qualifying by one shot. Mm-hmm. He played the rest of the golf, the next 34 holes, 7 under.
Wow.
But he missed by one. So sometimes those moments can be a learning experience and a crystallizing moment to show that, hey, I've got a switch inside that I can reach into and things happen. Whoop.
There's our first roar of the day. Our first
finally.
Long putt.
It only took almost an hour yesterday. It only took 9 minutes. But you watch. We're going to start hearing this a lot more the rest of the day. But I was proud of Charlie. I you know, if Charlie had the last name of Johnson, nobody would care.
Right.
And that's the... And that's the sad part, that my heart is sad for Charlie in that regard, as he tries to grow up in such a public fashion, learning a game that is so, so difficult. The ultimate puzzle without an answer.
And the thing that's tough, and the thing that's tougher for him than what his dad had, even though his dad was a phenom coming up, there was no social media. There weren't camera phones on every single hole. There wasn't all that added pressure of being a son of a legend. And I think it's something that, A, we're seeing with Charlie Woods. We're seeing it in basketball with Bronny James as well, the son of LeBron James. Like, you can't go incognito at these events. You can't.
No.
There's no way around it. Every time anyone's watching one of these events, it's for one reason and one reason only. It's Charlie Woods.
Exactly. And Charlie is always going to be under that microscope. And, you know, he's getting used to it. He's getting used to being in his skin in that regard. But it's one thing to do a task that is more mundane, but golf is such a mental game. You can have it so good one day, and for whatever reason, the stars and the plans aren't aligning right, and it just, no matter the harder you try, the worse it gets. And I think Charlie visited that moment the other day.
Yeah. All right, coming up in 2 minutes, we will talk with Nick Anderson, member of the Flying Illini, and now he's dipping his toe in the golf game. So we'll discuss all of that coming up in 2 short minutes. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf, without the drive.